Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Monday, August 11, 2025, and I am back. Did you miss me, everybody? I hope you did. Oh, I could have probably knocked out a podcast or two while I was in Scotland. But you know, it's like the mood to do it. The mood to actually reinsert yourself into your normal workflow and life. It just wasn't there. Because going on one of these trips is just so magical, so unique, so life-affirming. And it takes you and puts you in a different world that you don't really want to knock out a podcast. So I did not. But I kept tabs with what was happening. We had plenty of time on bus rides to scroll the internet, scroll social media. My thumb is damn near sprained from all the scrolling I did. And so I saw everything going on. I was like, oh man, I'm missing a banger of a week. We got dildos flying. We've got the Shador Sanders wars heating up already after just one preseason game. And a bunch of other stuff happening, including the Brewers being the hottest team in baseball that they won again today on a Sunday as their city was damn near flooded. Parts of the western burbs in Waukesha, Wisconsin, absolutely crushed by a ton of rain. But the baseball team, they just keep winning in amazing fashion, coming back. Best team in baseball, best record in baseball. And some are saying this is the Euchre magic. This is what happens when the beloved icon passes. It all seems like, ah, boy, it's going to suck from now on out. We lost a couple more free agents, had to trade away our closer, Devin Williams. By the way, Devin Williams sucks with the Yankees. And they got out of him at just the right time. And they just keep adding guys. You're like, who is this guy and why is he so good? But anyway, I didn't put out any podcasts because it was an amazing trip. I want to thank Scotland Golf Tours, and I can call him a friend now, Ronnie Pook, P-O-O-K, who founder of the company. He's on the verge of retiring. His apprentice, Angus, is going to take over, just a very sharp, much younger man, ready to do this for another 30 years himself and hopefully keep setting up tours for me and my no-account friends. They delivered yet again. The most comprehensive, thoughtful, attentive tour guide operator in all of the UK. They do Scotland. They do Ireland. They do Northern Ireland. They do Wales. They do all that stuff, and they know everything. And I'm not saying there aren't other good operators out there. It's just every time I've used Ronnie, this is now the fourth time. Well, third time for golf, fourth time including a honeymoon, or not honeymoon, but a anniversary with my wife to Ireland. It's been an absolute banger of a trip. Oh, could you do it cheaper? Quote, much cheaper on your own? Sure, you could, but good luck because there's a lot more to it than you think. Oh, you know what? This restaurant closed down. First of all, we had a storm and it knocked out golf for a day. Do you know how rare it is to have golf courses close over there in Scotland? But basically a summer hurricane came, they named it Floris. It came and wiped out golf all of Monday, which was quite the bummer because we got there. We had to drive 4 hours north. It's a long way up there. First in Inverness, that's about 3 hours, then another hour plus to Dornoch. And to get there, we get there, we drive all the way up, drive. Red eye, drive all the way up. No golf the first day. There's no time for it. You're finally there. You're tired. Okay, in the hotel, have dinner. Good night. Next day, we play golf. It was fine. Then on Monday, it's like, that course is closed. Are you kidding me? But we got it in because, again, Ronnie and his team at Scotland Golf Tours was able to nimbly rearrange our tee time so we could play Brora in the morning on Thursday, it was, or Wednesday, Thursday, I think. And then we played Nairn in the afternoon. Nairn! So we played, just for the record, Old Moray, which they called Murray, like Bill Murray. Old Moray, which is a old Tom Morris design. I put design in air quotes. You're like, oh, wow, that's fascinating. The old Tom Morris design. Yeah, that in like 300 other courses throughout Scotland. But it was cool. It was a very lovely links to the great opening hole, finishing hole, clubhouse high on a hill, flags, very lovely. Then we played, we were supposed to play Nairn Monday, got rained out. Tuesday, we played Cabot Highlands, which is formerly Castle Stewart, but they renamed it. I don't know why. They once had the Scottish Open there. Phil Mickelson, I believe, won it there. Spectacular new links layout that has six holes right along the ocean. It was so windy and rainy for a good chunk of the day. It was brutal scoring conditions. But I still made an eagle, and I put it on video. I caught it on video. My putt from off the green from like 30 yards away down a hill through a swale. Caught it on video. Yes. Posted it to drunktommorris.com. And then we got done with that. We were wiped out after that round. Then Wednesday went up to Dornoch. Let me tell you, Royal Dornoch, oh my God, what a slice of heaven. It really is one of the most amazing links courses I've seen. It's easily my number one now in Scotland, ahead of even Turnberry, ahead of even Trump International, where they had a DP World Tour event this weekend. Pros were struggling pretty good on that thing. It's fantastic. And we got the most beautiful weather. And I played great. I mean, I shot 75. I'm down to a 3 handicap. I'm not that good. I shouldn't be shooting 75 on a course that is very challenging. The greens are all kind of pushed up, like tabletop greens. Great conditions. I mean, immaculate conditions. And just an incredible day of golf there. That was Wednesday. Thursday, doubleheader day. We went and played Brora, which is a seaside links north of Dornoch, whose feature, get this, their feature is they have livestock that is sharing the golf course land because of a ongoing land dispute between the golf course owners and the ranchers who have the right by Scottish law to use the land under the so-called common good or the greatest common good law. But they're fighting it out right now. They're trying to come to a settlement. So what they have to do at Brora is they have to put electric fencing, just like an electric wire, around every single green. Because as you start to play the course, you're like, oh, there's sheep out here. What are sheep doing? Oh, there's a cow. That's a full-blown. What is a full-blown cow? I got photos of a cow literally two steps off the first tee box. It was wild. And I'm thinking to myself, do they really want to kick the animals off? Because it's such a cool, different feature. You do have to step over the wire, getting to every green. There's a bit of a hassle. It doesn't look great. There's cow shit and sheep shit all over the place and probably some other animals. I don't know. But it's a James Braid layout. And James Braid was a badass along the likes of old and young Tom Morris. Came a little bit later on. You might want to Google him if you're a golf nerd. And it could, if they were to kick the animals off and really shine that place up, Brora would be fantastic. So then we hoofed it all the way down to replay Nairn. Nairn, I slept on. I didn't know Nairn was so good. Nairn is down by Inverness, and it is phenomenal. It's a true seaside link, so you got the water to your right pretty much the whole time. And then, something I'd never seen before in a links course, it has this two-hole forest interlude where it winds up on a par four, up 30, 40, 50 feet, up to an elevated green in the middle of a Scotch pine forest. And then the next hole is a par three downhill in the same forest that is spectacular. spectacular. It felt like Cypress Point, Pebble Beach, that kind of feel in the middle of a links course. And then it went back to being a links course. It was blowing. I mean, it was windy all week for us. Not particularly warm. There's a little bit of shirt sleeve weather. There's probably about 9 holes of rain, but it was blowing all week long. And then Friday we played a course called Panmure, which is legendary because Ben Hogan once practiced there before winning his one and only Open Championship at nearby Carnoustie. He had to come over on a boat and qualify first. He's Ben Hogan. He was already a legend. This is 1953. Come over on a boat, because that's the only way to get over back then. Qualify, and then he hung out for like a week over at Panmure to practice. And even had a bunker put in just for him to practice bunker shots. In the locker room, they've got photos of him, Ben Hogan, the wee Texan, with a cigarette in his mouth and a bunch of Scotsmen hovering around him around the bunker, watching him practice, him just hitting shot after shot. It was super cool. And the wind was 30-plus there, too. Like, nobody was playing but us and a couple of the crazy people. But we didn't hate it. We had a great group. I literally did not know at least 4 guys prior to this trip. We had 12 guys. 4 of them jumped on late because they heard me talking about this on the podcast, and they were all home run dudes. And everyone else, you know, I had an interesting mix of guys. I knew 1 or 2 guys that knew 1 or 2 guys. That was kind of the core, but it was not an experienced group. And man, they got along great. And isn't that what's great about being a dude? Is that being a dude, you can go on a golf trip and get along with other dudes, because there is like a dude code, isn't there? To not be that guy. Don't be the guy who's late all the time. Don't be the guy who complains a lot. Don't be the guy who goes, well, I only had a soda. I didn't have whiskey. So that, you know, everything was, here's the bill, chop it up 12 ways, put your money in, shut up, and keep her moving. And nobody complained. It was fantastic. The thing that hurts, well, 2 things. One is that our guy said, don't look at the weather for over there this week, because it's cherry pie. It's temps in the low 20s for them, which is like 70s. And then sunshine and light winds. So we definitely missed it. We got fucked on the weather. But I wouldn't trade it for anything, because you really got to experience proper Scottish golf in the toughest of conditions. And we had a great time. Okay, there you go. 11 minutes of time. 11 minutes of my golf trip. I hope that wasn't too much. If you didn't like it, just fast forward. You know where that button is. Okay, fast forward. Now let's talk about the 2 things that were fascinating to me before I bring Andy on today. And that is the dildos and the stopping of the preseason game. On the dildo front, it was hilarious to see on social media, a second green dildo has hit the court. People, of course, are doing the George W. Bush memes on 9/11 when his aide came up when he was reading that book to kindergartners, going, whispering in his ear, sir, another dildo has hit the court. And then a third one hit the court. And then a fourth one hit the court. And then it was on at that point. And I was seeing some interviews with people purportedly part of some kind of, I don't know, secret society, some Reddit prank group that decided this was going to be a thing. Some were speculating that they were doing it for a gambling angle, because some sports books were putting lines out as to what would the next color be. You're not going to get rich doing that, because they're going to put all kinds of limitations on the amount of money you can bet. And they might even void the bet depending on, you know, what it is. It's not like a real sporting event. But the WNBA, of course, had a problem on their hands. They're like, how do we stop this? And what fascinated me, and first of all, it's wrong. It is wrong, because look, whatever you think of the league or the attitude of the women or their pettiness towards Caitlin Clark, you know, these are women who are competing in a professional league hard as they can. They want to get paid like pros as much as they can. They are all someone's daughter, okay? And so, and there's also little girls watching the games as well. We don't need to introduce them to what a dildo is, do we? I don't think so. So it's definitely wrong, and it's kind of gone too far. But I would say I'm not entirely sympathetic, given that prior to this, they had come out at the All-Star game with shirts that said, pay us what you owe us. Not fair play for hard play. Or fair pay for hard play. It wasn't, you know, pay us our fair share, or you know, what, something softer, or, you know, It was pay us what you owe us. And then one person or one group's response was, here you go. I mean, I'm laughing. It's not funny. It should stop. But at the same time, you're like, okay. What fascinates me, though, is that are the penalties stiff enough? Are the penalties severe enough in order to deter future dildo throwers from keeping the prank going? Because remember, in viral, stupid America, with memes and the internet being what it is, and social media, once something gets some momentum, it's hard to turn that spigot off. Especially if the worst you can get hit with is like disorderly conduct, and I don't know what else they were charging the guy that they caught. They caught one guy and they charged him with something. But I mean, if it's not enough of a penalty legally, how are you going to stop? How are you going to stop it? I know the WNBA put in a no bag policy, but imagine there's ways to hide dildos and loose pants and other places, unless you're going to frisk for dildos at every game. So, and of course, the more the WNBA tries to, you know, stop it, that's only going to encourage the pranksters even more. Could somebody get hurt? Yeah, it wouldn't feel good. I mean, seriously hurt? It's silicone. Even from the upper deck, I don't think it's going to break any bones. Not that I want to be hit by one. I grant you that. But still, we'll see if any more come flying out between now and the end of this week. The other thing was the preseason game between the Lions and the Falcons that was suspended, or the players just stopped playing after a serious injury to Detroit safety Maurice Norris Jr. in the fourth quarter. There's only 6 minutes, 19 seconds left, and he took a hard hit, snapped his neck back. He is doing better. He has feeling in all extremities and movement, so that is a positive sign, but it was a scary injury. But what was fascinating was thinking to myself, so what if it was the first quarter of a preseason game? They can't just quit the game then, can they? What if it's the second quarter, but of the last preseason game and the starters are still in? Can you quit the game? Do the coaches initiate this, or do the players just say, well, we're not going to play? Because the players know that these games are bullshit and they don't really mean anything. They're necessary to get the practice, the rhythm of, get the plays in, work the headsets. The referees have to get practice. The hot dog vendors in the stadium, they have to get the practice of cooking the hot dogs, serving them up. These are good practice games for everybody, but they don't mean anything. I mean, you're an idiot. You're an idiot or a Skip Bayless if you think it means anything. More on that when I bring Andy on here in just a second. But how does that work exactly? If you're just going to stop playing because you're shook because one guy got hurt badly, then where's the line? I don't know. We'll see if it happens again. We'll see if it were to happen in a regular season game. Could you imagine? I mean, hell, a guy coded out on the field. They still ended up playing the game. Thank God for Lamar Hamlin, alive and well today. Okay, quick break when we come back. Andy Pollin and I chop it up as the Shedeur Sanders wars are on. In August in the NFL, you're listening to the Zabecast. Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports, not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Hello.
Hello, Andy Pollin. How are you, my friend? Back fresh and rested after your week in good old Vermont.
Hey, you got that right.
I know. I almost check-swinged into Maine, but I know it's Vermont. When'd you get back, buddy?
Saturday.
Nice.
Saturday to Saturday.
So here's a comparison between Andy and I. Andy's vacation, my vacation in Scotland, golfing all over the place, was probably pressing five figures by the time it was all said and done. Andy's vacation to Maine with friends of his from 30 years totaled exactly $0.
Well,
although I'm sure you bought some groceries or maybe dinner or something like that, because you're a generous guy. You're not a schnorr, as you taught me, as a word.
First of all, it is Vermont. You slipped again, said Maine.
Oh, sorry.
Number two, it goes back 54 years.
54 years
yeah,
of being guests of this family at their cottage in Vermont.
Yes, it's a lovely place on a reservoir, and I had a wonderful time. They invite other friends and family members. Yeah. We hang out, we cook out.
That's great. And what an affordable vacation that is. What's the most you think you could stomach spending on a vacation?
It depends what it is.
What's the most you have spent? Did you take your family to Disney ever?
Well, we took a family trip with my parents. I mean, I don't, do those kind of things. I've given them nice vacations, in the past.
Nice.
But no, I don't know. I don't like cruises. I've been on one. Don't like those.
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan of the all-inclusives, believe it or not.
Well, you don't really drink. You might have one beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And sitting around a pool doesn't appeal to me.
Right. Know. So anyway, well, someday I would like for you to splurge on yourself for a vacation. Not that your week in Vermont is not lovely for $0 at your friend's place, but just splurge once in a while.
Okay.
What is it?
Thanks, Dad.
Do you pay them?
Well, no, but I do pay. I buy, a dinner, and I get groceries, and I cook chicken out on the grill, and, I contribute.
You drive up, right?
Was that? Oh, yeah.
Cost of gas. It's not truly zero. Yeah. But
okay, yeah. but why are you obsessed with the cost of my vacation?
Well, because I admire it. You think I'm criticizing. I'm actually admiring how thrifty and unique it is. And I think everyone, if you were not a good guest, they wouldn't invite you back. So clearly they enjoy having you, and you've done well, and good for you.
Yeah,
good for you. Really. I like belonging to other people's country clubs because I never have to pay dues.
Yeah, that's right.
I like other people who have boats.
Yeah. A boat? Are you kidding me? You got to be out of your mind.
I just need some more people with pools in the dead of summer. Would be nice.
Yeah, well, we have a community pool here, so it's okay.
Do you ever go to it? Of course not. You don't like sitting
not
by
very
the pool.
Often. A couple times a summer.
Very good. All right. Well, the Shador Sanders wars are already on. One of the things I saw from the week while I was out of the country already, one good game, and already Skip Bayless was out right as the game ended with a 16-minute video demanding the NFL apologize to Shador. RG3 is covering himself in absurdity. Well, he said they're setting him up to fail before the first preseason game because he was only taking fourth team reps. And then he looks pretty good, and he's like, he's the real deal. You guys should have never doubted him. People are like, what happened to setting him up to fail? And RG3 is like, well, that's what I mean. They were setting him up to fail, but God had bigger plans. And I'm like, Jesus, shut up.
Yeah, really? I mean, he's a moth to the flame. Whatever gets him the most attention, that's where he's going.
The notion that you can know anything about any player, especially a quarterback, after one game is absurd. Yeah?
Of course. I watched the tape of the Commanders game from Friday night.
They stunk on Friday. Even my mom goes, Steven, did you see the Commanders? They're terrible. What's wrong with them? I go, yeah, I vaguely saw that they sucked, but I mean, why do you care, Mom?
They were awful, but they didn't play 30 players, most of them starters.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, the exhibition season is such a joke. It's going to be two games within, I think, the next 3 years when they tell the players they're playing 18.
Sure.
And eventually they're going to get to 20 regular season games and we won't have this.
Right. But I think what's different now, though, is that the over coverage of preseason and the over infusing of meaning, where meaning does not belong, is only picking up steam, and it's completely absurd. Well, and yet the people doing it should be serious enough people to go, yeah, he looked good, but, I mean, who knows? Yeah. I guess there's no money in saying who knows, right?
You have to fan the flames of the NFL as much as you can. They don't even like it at ESPN that the NFL is pretty much shut down from late June to late July. They don't know what to do with themselves.
Because they've lost their ability, their muscle memory to cover baseball in any meaningful way.
Yeah, or
and
anything
the personnel.
Else is going on. Right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, there kind of is not much going on. But by the way, put a pin in that. I want to get your thoughts on the ESPN acquisition of the NFL Network and NFL Films. But back to the whole thing about, you know, Shador. So Shador had a pretty good game, some nice throws, couple touchdowns. Scrambled around, did the whoop, 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 which, by the way, is not going to help him as a regular season job. This league, this position in this league is a 2.7-second position. You have to see, read, and in 2.7 seconds, deliver on average, because that's the average time to throw. You have to deliver the ball with extreme accuracy. Right shoulder, left shoulder, front shoulder, back shoulder, high, low, left knee, right knee. I mean, it's got to be right where it's got to be. That's the whole position. The running around stuff, whoop, 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 yeah, it's fun when it works, but those are off-schedule things. And he doesn't run like Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick. So you're not going to be able to run as a weapon. You're going to have to be good 2.7 seconds in.
I think Peyton Manning was 2.1.
He probably was.
Because he couldn't run at all.
Right, because he deciphered everything beforehand. Like, he would stand there, he'd see what they were doing, he knew so well, he could process it all, he did so much film study, that he then would rearrange the pieces, he would cook the meal at the line of scrimmage with the play clock going down, and then you're like, fuck, an 8-yard completion to Marvin Harrison when it was 3rd and 5, how do we not stop that? Well, right? He knew where to throw it.
And he knew when they were trying to fool him, too.
Yep. Right. Remember there was legend of him telling, I forget who it was, might have been either Ed Reed or Ray Lewis, hey, you're supposed to be lined up over here.
Yeah,
right. Like, I know your defense, and you're supposed to be over here. Might have been some scrub.
No, I think it was Charles Woodson.
Woodson. I think Woodson told that story. He's like, yeah, you're in the wrong place. Right. With Peyton saying that. So, yeah. But look, the number of teams that thought they had something in a quarterback, and then they realized, oh, we don't have anything. It's almost too long to list. In fact, I believe there was people saying that some of the critics owe it the Giants an apology because Daniel Jones started out good for his first couple of games. They're like, Daniel Jones has got to be good. They thought they had something in him. Narrator, they did not, in fact, anything in him.
Well, that's an unusual one in that they gave him a second contract and then realized, oh, he's not that good.
Right. Well, yeah. And then there's guys who are great, like Carson Wentz, get hurt and come back and then suck. Like, right. Literally can't even process what they're doing. Now, he's still hanging on in the league. I think he's a backup. I forget where. I looked at a depth chart.
It was Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still there. No.
Yeah. But he was so bad at the end.
Yeah.
They thought that the Patriots before Drake May, the guy before him, Mac Jones, they thought, we got something in Mac Jones. We got something. No, you don't have anything. The Titans were like, we got something in Mariota. No, you don't. Same thing for Jameis Winston. Now in New York, doing his Jameis Winston stuff. The Buccaneers thought, we got something. No, you got a turnover machine is what you got. Right. We won't know on Shador until at least a couple years in. And when real bullets are flying and it's a live game and he plays a full 60 minutes and takes 40 snaps or 40 throws, he can't miss two of those throws badly. Otherwise, that's the game right there. Games come down to what, five plays, Andy?
That's what average. Vince Lombardi said.
Yeah.
Football games are five plays. If we don't know what they are, we're going to have to play hard for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, but there seems to be, don't you sense there is a lot of people fighting a proxy war for Shador in the media?
Yeah, because more it gets some attention. It's a name. It's a hot button. It dominated the draft, even though he went in the fifth round. Of course. And certainly a guy like Skip Bayless would go crazy over something like that. He doesn't have a job anymore. What has he got? Some podcast that he puts out?
It's so sad. He's talking into his cell phone with a simple Skip logo on the wall behind him and two lights.
75.
75. You know, he's already made $100 million in TV, maybe.
Whatever.
50, whatever. A shit ton of money. He can't give it up. Oh, by the way, did you see the story about him saying he never had kids because he felt like that they would prevent him from being the best sports commentator of all time?
Good, because he probably would have made a lousy father, the self-absorbed jerk that he is.
I know. Imagine Skip Bayless being your dad.
No.
Kid arguing with your dad who's Skip Bayless over whether to eat your pudding.
Yeah. And you know, tells everybody that he works out every day. I told you that story.
Yeah.
The column he wrote in Dallas that athletes were more willing to talk to him now that he took up running.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, that go figure.
Hey, I'd like to talk to you, but you're kind of a fat guy. I'm going to go over here and talk to Skip.
I know. Then there was an exchange between longtime Cleveland writer Tony Grossi and Shador Sanders, where Shador's like, hey, man, how come you never write anything good about me? What do you got going against me? Now, it seemed tense at first because you could kind of overhear it in the tunnel, but then it ended with laughs and a bit of a kind of a bro shake. Did you see that?
I didn't, but he is the son of Dion, who once dumped a bucket of water on Tim McCarver. So,
right.
Yeah, they're sensitive about people who say things about them.
If you were the reporter, if you were Grossi, what would have you done in that situation?
I would have said, I am paid to give my – I think he's a columnist, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I am paid to give my opinion. This is my opinion. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Now, columnists –
So just matter of fact, you wouldn't fire back? Well, you haven't done anything, Shador, other than get two speeding tickets in the offseason and walk in with a posse and a boombox. So nothing you've done has impressed me, but, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Would that have been okay for him to fire back just a bit?
You could do it that way if you want. Okay. Some do. But the one thing I've heard from columnists, if you write something negative, especially like a baseball player, you show up at the next game.
You got to show your face.
Yep, absolutely. Right,
to give that guy an opportunity to come confront you, like, hey, what the fuck, man?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. One of the guys on our tour bus, while we were killing time between courses, asked about, did the Redskin players not like it when Cooley would do his in-depth film study breakdowns on the radio?
Ooh, they didn't like it at all.
And I said, oh boy, you no. I said, the first thing I learned was how tedious it is, and that's why no ex-NFL players want to do it, because it takes 3 hours to go through a game. You look at every single play, three different ways, rewind, and there were plays in which Cooley would see a play and then go, huh, and he'd write a note, and I'd say, what are you writing the note about? He goes, well, I got to go ask the coaches, because I'm not sure if they were in cover two or cover three slice. They kind of coach it differently here under this coaching staff. And I go, damn, that's a very sophisticated, you know, level of knowledge. He goes, yeah, well, that's how subtle it is sometimes. Sometimes when a player makes a dumb-looking play, it doesn't affect the outcome of the play because they're away from the ball. So it's like, yeah, that was dumb, but, well, it didn't hurt the team, so who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is why football is an unknowable game. And it takes you – the only guy who really beat this was Brady. Because Phil Simms told me this 30 years ago. He said, football is a cruel game, especially for the quarterback. As soon as you start to master the game mentally, your body gives out. And, you know, few guys can play it at a high level late in life, late in football life, in the 30s. And Brady did it.
Yeah, except for Brady, who now has a statue outside of Foxborough that, I don't know, are you big into statue judging? Some were saying it didn't look at all like him. I thought it was okay.
The head was very small head compared to
really?
The body.
Oh, really? Okay.
It seemed that way to all me. Right. I don't know.
What do you think of Brady's look right now?
I think he looks great. What do you think?
He looks like he's had so much plastic surgery done, it's not even funny. And his big veneer teeth. People were doing memes with, like, the cheesy preacher with the giant veneers, like, hey, everybody, donate to the First Christ Church of Christ.
So you think he'll be Michael Jackson in 10 years?
If you can't see how different he looks, I'll send you a side-by-side.
I hadn't really been – I noticed he's very thin.
Okay. When it comes to guys looking different than they once looked, did you see Johnny Damon over the weekend?
Yes, I did.
Holy shit.
His hair's long.
No, he's fat.
Well, okay. Baseball players get fat.
Not all of them. There's some 300-pound linemen in the NFL who are as lean as can be now. Yeah, like Matt Burke is a guy you wouldn't recognize. Joe Thomas is a guy you wouldn't recognize. And here's Johnny Damon, who looked like a Cabbage Patch Kid with long hair stuffed into pinstripes. It was alarming. You didn't think it was, like, shocking?
I mean, you're the one that accuses me of fat shaming.
That's what I'm saying. Jump in, Andy. I can't believe you're defending him. Johnny Damon is in shit shape, if you ask me, for not being that recently retired.
I bet it's been 10 years since he played.
Okay, whatever. Mariano Rivera also blew out his Achilles.
Yeah.
In the old-timers game. Not a lot of teams do these old-timer games. The Brewers did an old-timers, not old-timers, but an alumni home run contest, which went over well, but they didn't actually try to play a game.
Right. No, the Yankees have been doing this. I remember being there, I think, like 35 years ago for an old-timers game. I thought it was really cool. DiMaggio was there.
Right.
He didn't play. But there were, you know, a lot of them showed up. Whitey Ford, guys like that.
Yeah. Hey, Whitey. So let's talk about ESPN gobbling up NFL properties, NFL Network, NFL Films, more rights to games. They give up 10% of equity in ESPN. Apparently the NFL had been floundering making money or making NFL Network as big as they thought they were going to make it. So they're just like, here, have it.
Right.
What do you think?
I think it makes sense. And if you want to get into the journalistic part of them owning part of ESPN, I think that ship sailed a long time ago. Right. I don't think that matters. Now, Dan Patrick said something about this, and then Don Van Natta got a little worked up about it, because Patrick said that, you know, they may have already passed on certain stories.
Oh.
And Van Natta said, hold everything. You know, we just wrote about what happened with the union. Sure. And he also talked about, you know, the Dan Snyder situation. I mean, I as a fan of the Commanders owe him a lot. In I think yes. It was his story that finally pushed Snyder out the door.
Yes, Van Atta really. If there's ever a statue to be built outside of the new stadium for the Commanders, eventually put one of Van Atta there, or at least put his name in a brick on the sidewalk, because he was the cannonball that pierced the hull. Yep. Of the SS Snyder that made it start taking on water and that eventually sank it. So I'm always going to be thankful for him. Van Atta's excellent, and I understand why he'd get a little bit prickly on this, but of all the stories they have done, we don't know the stories they've spiked.
Right.
It's impossible to know the stories they go, not going to touch that one.
Right. Yeah, but that may be true of any organization, but it looks bad when they own 10% of your company.
Well, don't you think it's just going to make NFL films shittier and the NFL network shittier? And what's going to happen to the red zone? As of now, Scott Hansen said, I'm still doing red zone, but as soon as it was announced, everyone freaked out with memes about, and now here is 7 hours of football with Stephen A. Smith. And they're like, shoot me now.
No, that's not going to happen. But I don't know. You know, do they not do a pregame show with Rich Eisen? I don't know how much traction that got, but
they are going to start selling ads. Apparently, the ad free part of the red zone, that's over. The free ride is over. People, how do you feel about that?
I don't think it's going to go away for commercials. I think it's going to be more logos and this segment sponsored by.
Well, it's going to be a little bit shittier. And once everyone gets accustomed to a picture-in-picture or a banner at the bottom, they're going to start jamming commercial breaks in. Personally, I don't sit and watch Red Zone constantly. I know you do. I don't.
I love it.
It's too ADD for me. It's like, okay, don't go away from this game. I want to see what they're doing now on 2nd and 5 at the 45. I know they're not in the red zone, but don't whip me around to another game. I'm into this one. Of course, I've got three TVs, so, you know.
Yeah, for you of all people. For me, it's all I watch outside of the Commanders.
Okay, you need commercial breaks to pish?
Well, I don't have to see every play. It's okay to, you know, step away for a while. And they catch you up. You know, sometimes there's nothing happening, and Hansen goes through the highlights of the other games.
Yeah, okay. I just think it's going to be bad for consumers. Bad if it gets approved, by the way, which is not a sure thing. Probably will. Yeah. You know, when the NFL films sold out to the NFL, it was the first step of it's going to be worse, and it was. They started cutting corners, laying people off, and now that ESPN has gobbled them up, I mean,
you're talking about an NFL Network, not NFL Films.
Was bought by the NFL.
In the early 60s,
No. I believe Andy was bought when the NFL Network launched.
No, I don't think so, because my understanding is...
I'll have to check that. I seem to distinctly remember Greg Cosell saying, we're getting bought by the NFL, that's not going to be good for us.
Oh, okay, well, they may have become an arm of the NFL Network, but they were always a part of the NFL, because Ed Sable... went to them in 1962 and bought the rights.
Yeah, the rights. But having the rights to film the games and produce content and their films is not the same as being owned by the NFL. They had the rights to it. They paid the NFL. They go, here's how much, and they kept upping that number. And then finally the NFL, when they started NFL Network, said, we should just buy NFL Films. You've got all the best archival shit anyway, which we need.
I mean,
that was my recollection, but I'd have to look it up.
But my understanding was they were a part of the league. Now, maybe the league left them alone. Maybe there was more control exerted when they went to NFL Films. I don't know. Went to NFL Network. Not sure.
Yeah. All right. Which sorority dance TikTok do you like the best, since it is dance sorority TikTok season?
I know what TikTok is. I have no idea.
Have you seen the viral video dances that all the sororities do with their hot little coochie girls dancing?
I did see a couple of them. Yeah, they were quite sophisticated. Yes, I did see one or two.
But they're all the same. That's the thing.
I know.
They're all the damn same, basically. Of course, they usually push out only a 15 or 20 second clip, which I guess is even the sororities know. They're like, our generation does not have the attention span for more of this. I'm wondering, is there a place I can watch all of the unedited full-length versions. You sick pervert. No, I'm not. Just I'm curious as to whether or not there's other elements
to the Do you have that much time in your hands?
No, I don't. Have that much time. I'm just curious. Is there a full reel? Is there a website? Somebody out there listening right now, is there a website that compiles every sorority and every big Division I football school, their full videos, their sing-along, their dance-alongs? I'm talking the three-minute versions, not the 20 seconds. If there is, let me know. I'd be curious to see. And at some point, one of these sororities is going to have to break the mold and do something totally different. Like, yeah, they're all cookie cutter,
basically. My daughter's been out of college for 15 years.
Was she in a sorority?
Yeah, Wisconsin, right.
Which one?
I forget, but she was in one.
Alpha, Pi, Beta,
yeah.
Theta,
and that she has Omega. Close friends from there. I just don't see the ones that I've met along with her doing those kind of dances. That just doesn't seem right. Yeah. They were more interested in the pre-gaming for the football games.
Like when you're my age and you got a 26-year-old and a 23-year-old, like, you look at those videos going, oh God, they're children. They're children. Why are they doing this? Come on now. All right, and then finally, this is a good one. Paul Feinbaum complained this week on ESPN. You know, Big Ten fans, they act like they invented football. People were quick to point out, what's the home of football where it was very first played? Do you know?
Rutgers, right?
Rutgers. Yeah. And technically, Rutgers is in the Big Ten. Granted, they're a pimple on the ass of the Big Ten and have done shit since joining. But still, that is where football was actually invented. So guess what, Feinbaum? That's why. That's why they think the way they think. They did, the Big Ten, invent football.
Well, Feinbaum's become very wealthy attaching himself to the SEC. So I can understand his loyalty. Can't you?
I can indeed. So what do you got for the rest of the summer before the big football industrial complex ramps up into full motion?
I don't have any huge plans, and I don't need to use a riding mower like you did prior to our conversation here.
3 hours on the horse today. So much grass to cut. So much crabgrass, Andy, because, oh, it's terrible. Looks like shit the lawn does. I hate it. Who bought all this grass? Who bought 10 acres? Who? What madman decided this was a good life?
Yeah, I sometimes in the afternoon when I'm home, I hear the hum of the mower outside my door and know that I don't have to do that anymore.
That's 3 hours on a Skag Cheetah or Skag Turf Tiger 2, one of the finest landscaping pieces of machinery that was given to me, loaned to me on permanent loan till I'm done with this house by the very CEO of Skag Mowers in Maryvale, Wisconsin. Very generous thing. And I'm not saying this is a quid pro quo, but I'm going to mention it every time I can. It's a hell of a mower. Goes very fast. But holy shit, 3 hours. Not feeling good. I'm hungover from my trip, from a layover, from my trip to Scotland, but I had to get it done.
So. Not fast enough. By the way, you didn't respond to my text about showing you that Pete Maravich did indeed dribble a basketball outside of a car.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is there a video?
No, but
it didn't happen.
On my vacation, I'm reading David Aldridge's 100 Best Basketball Players, yeah, which Pete Maravich is one of them, and it mentions that check your old text, he was dribbling a basketball outside the car while his dad was driving.
Oh, okay, good. And he was able to get a cup of coffee at Tim Hortons without losing his dribble, and he made change for the cup of coffee. He was that good.
I didn't see that part, but that might be possible. And I don't think they had a Tim Hortons in wherever he was.
Whatever. I was just trying to think. But Dunkin' Donuts, maybe. So, yeah. So, in other words, hey, Andy, how would you spend your vacation up there in Vermont? Well, I just was researching sick burns on you, Zabe. I'm no, like, I woke up, I took a walk in the woods, I contemplated life and nature like Henry Thoreau, and then I came back and I started on the internet going, let me get back at Zabe.
No. I was sitting on a boathouse deck overlooking this gorgeous reservoir, reading this book, and I saw that little passage, so I sent it to you.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, maybe it's a good drill some of the today's players might want to adopt.
Maybe.
All right, Andy, always good to talk to you. Good to be back. The football industrial complex is revving up into full gear, and it'll be all systems going literally 2 weeks from now, so we are pumped. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Hi, Zabe. Take care.
impossible to fail. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.